Good morning, everyone. Today we continue our series in updating the country on our efforts to beat back COVID in Barbados, beat back COVID-19. And very important, you know that this weekend we move from pause to stop. Here to give us more guidance and information relative to what the law requires, what is in the directive on this occasion, how different the two periods are going to be, what is required of us as members of the public, are the Honorable Dale Marshall, Attorney General of Barbados, Mr. Tyrone Griffith, Commissioner of Police of Barbados, and to continue our discussion on issues relative to health and medicine, because COVID-19 has so very many components at both the social and economic levels, as well as at in terms of the area of the law and in terms of the area of management and self-management, and of course health. Dr. Shaney Williams, she is a consultant in the Accident and Emergency Department of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. She is also engaged with the Director of Medical Services of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Yesterday we had that director, Dr. Clive Cave, here with us, who spoke on general issues as well as a particular situation involving a new disease, relatively new disease, relative or consequence, a sequelae of COVID-19, MIS C, or as some people say, MISC, multi-inflammatory syndrome, multi-inflammatory syndrome in children. So he spoke in dual capacities in relation as director of medical services, as well as in his own specialty as a pediatric specialist. Dr. Williams will do a similar thing. She will speak about A&E in particular, but she will speak in her capacity as virtually deputy director of the QEH medical services relative to what is happening across, therefore, with the Attorney General of Barbados, the Honorable Dale Marshall. Attorney General, what's the new directive? What does it mean for all of us?
Good morning, Liz, Commissioner, Dr. Williams. Good morning, Barbados, members of the press. The Prime Minister has very generously excused me from the rest of Cabinet so that I can participate in this morning's press briefing, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to do so and to talk generally about the directive. We are now at directive number four. Directive number four became effective as at midnight last night. And you will all know that it will continue until the last day of February, the 28th of February at midnight. Now, let me begin by saying that much of what has been contained in the prior directives, much of those specifics have been continued into this one. So there's not a lot that's different. However, those places where differences do occur, I think that they're quite significant, and I'm going to take the time to go through them. So the first thing, let me reiterate that this directive came into effect at midnight last night and will expire at midnight on the 28th of February. You will all know that there is a curfew in Barbados from 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. But of course, I think any Barbadian will recognize that there have been a large number of vehicles on the road during the daylight hours, a lot of people moving about during the daylight hours. And we get the sense that Barbadians are not quite understanding what is expected of them. In fact, they're operating on the assumption that the only time that they have to stay in their homes is from 7 in the night until 6 in the morning, and that during the daylight hours they can do as they please and go hither, thither, and yon. We think it's a common sense thing, but for those Barbadians who seem to feel that they have carte blanche during the day, we have stipulated in this directive now that during the daylight hours, unless you have legitimate business with any of the exempted businesses or any of the essential services, unless you are to do any of those things, then you are expected to stay within the curtilage of your home. We understand that curtilage is a bit of legal jargon, and people are wondering, well, what do you mean by curtilage? Essentially, we simply mean the enclosure within which your house is contained, the boundaries of your property. So if you live and the front of your property is the public road, then that is the front part of your curtilage. Are your neighbor's properties would be the ones to the left, to the right, and perhaps to the back. So curtilage, while it is a legal term, it means nothing more than the extent of your property. That's basically it. If you live on a large piece of land, then you will have more curtilage than anybody else. But essentially, we are talking about within the boundaries. So when we say that you're not to leave your residence, we're not saying that you dare not step outside of your home. What we are saying that you can go outside of your house, but you cannot go any further than the boundaries of your home. So let's recap this. There's a curfew in place from 7 in the night until 6 in the morning. During that time, you're only allowed to leave your home if you are a member of the essential services or in the case of an emergency. Other than that, you stay within your property. During the daylight hours, think of that as an expanded arrangement. So you are allowed to go to the pharmacy. You're allowed to go to buy bread. You're allowed to operate your businesses as long as it's exempt. Those are the kinds of things you're allowed to do during the day. However, if you are not engaged in that kind of activity, you are expected, you are required, in fact, to remain at home. I think I think it's simple. Now, when you think about Minister Bostick's exhortation yesterday, that takes us into what we are now calling stay home weekend. And I think the time frame that he gave for that would be 7 tomorrow night until 6 a.m. on Monday morning. We've, as they say, tightened the screws a little further during the Saturday and Sunday period. So we have required in the new directive, and that is to be found at clause 8 of the new directive, and we're saying that Saturday 20th and Sunday 21st you are required to stay at home, but there are also certain businesses that which would ordinarily have been allowed to open during those times that we're closing. So for example, we're allowing bakeries to open for the purpose of baking bread for Monday, but bakery depots and so on are not allowed. So those of you who had anticipated going to buy bread on Saturday or on Sunday, I'm afraid that opportunity is no longer going to be there. Gas stations are going to be closed on the weekend. Gas stations are going to be closed on Saturday and Sunday. And we anticipate that Barbadians will say, well, but what if I need gas? Well, if you think you're going to need gas, please use your common sense and fill up tomorrow. Fill up on Friday. Wait until Monday. But what we're doing is we're eliminating for Saturday and Sunday those other things that Barbadians would have anticipated they'd be allowed to do. So the beaches are closed Saturday and Sunday. Parks are closed Saturday and Sunday. The opportunity that you have to do outdoor exercise today and tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, that is now, I regret to say, eliminated. So well today and tomorrow. You can go outside and do your exercise. You can do your jogging and so on between the hours of 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. That will not be permitted on the weekend. So exercise, going to the beach, those kinds of things, going to the park, that window is effectively closed. Excuse that is available to you if you are found on the streets is that you have a pass. Let me say that it has come to our attention that a number of employers have been issuing to their employees letters saying that they're working this place and it's an essential service and therefore treat this as a pass. The only passes, the only emergency passes that are issued in Barbados are passes issued by the government of Barbados and approved by myself as Attorney General. So those of you who have been using letters, the police will not be accommodating that. Please go to www.gov.bb, www.gov.bb, and apply for your passes. Letters will simply not be accommodated. So for those of you who have letters, please anticipate that that will not be accepted, and not just on the weekend, not generally. In relation though to churches, we have made a decision that we will allow the religious arrangements to continue. So even though it is stay-at-home weekend, we will still allow people to satisfy the importance of their religious experiences, and therefore the arrangements in relation to places of worship will continue to be available over the course of the weekend. And just to remind you, religious services, no more than 10 persons can be present either for the service or for the streaming of that service. In relation to funerals, if there are any funerals on the weekend, and Barbadians don't do funerals traditionally on Sundays, that's a Saturday thing, that limitation continues. No more than 10 mourners, one officiant, and the funeral director. And not that we anticipate that there are going to be many weddings, but the weddings will continue to be constrained and can only be attended by the bride, the bridegroom, two witnesses, and the marriage officer. Now, notwithstanding the fact that since January began, we have banned limes, picnics, and all those kinds of recreational activity, Barbadians are persisting in that kind of event. I'm happy that the COVID monitoring unit has been able to bring some individuals before the court. Barbadians will have awakened to a headline this morning pointing out that certain people have been brought before the courts and are actually on remand for having limes. Please, please, please desist. The COVID monitoring unit is being very vigilant, but it is also being very strict. Some shopkeepers are anticipating getting the financial assistance from the government. And I believe that I need to say to you that if you are expecting to get financial assistance from the government, but at the same time are guilty of breaching the protocols, you will be denied that assistance. So let me repeat myself. For those owners of shops who have applied for assistance from the government, if you are opening your shop in breach of the protocols, that assistance will be denied you. Liz, I think I'll stop there for the moment, and I welcome any questions that might be posed so as to clarify what else is in the directive.
Thank you very much, Honorable Attorney General. As indicated this morning, the Commissioner of Police of Barbados is with us, and he is going to tell us Commissioner, some of the concerns that you have. What have been the principal kinds of infractions that you have been seeing, you and the police force have been seeing, and how are you dealing and proposing to deal with these going forward, and how have you dealt with those that you've seen to date? Can you bring us fully up to date, please?
Thank you, Ambassador. Good morning, fellow participants. Morning to the media, and good morning to Barbados. I would start by saying that for the last, the period 3rd to the 17th, the force have brought some 20 cases of curfew cases before the court. So, which to my mind is 20 too many. By and large, Barbadians are following the protocols. However, there are those few persons that continue to flout the directives. We're seeing persons still attempting to open shops and other businesses. We're seeing persons not wearing their masks, but especially not wearing their masks appropriately. We are also seeing instances of people crowding at the beaches, and we are looking closely at that. I would want to say at this stage that going forward, we will have a zero tolerance policy in terms of persons breaching the directives. I think we have warned sufficient people already. We work closely with the COVID monitoring unit. We work also closely with a team of compliant officers, and they have been, themselves have been warning several people. The reports coming back from them are that the people normally would correct their shortcomings when they're spoken to. However, they're saying that consistently they're coming across persons especially not wearing their masks appropriately. So it would seem that the people are aware that they must be wearing their masks, but yet they're not wearing them appropriately. And in that regard, they are now going to be calling in far more instances of people breaching the protocols, and police responses will be one of zero tolerance. There's some 15 teams of 2 to 3 persons going across the country, the 3 territorial divisions, performing that function. And they have been working well, and it's now for us to take it to that stage where we will be taking more persons before the court that fail to adhere to the protocols.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. There have been some complaints made by individuals that people are leaving home just for an outing. So you don't ordinarily go to the beach, but you get up early and a group of friends and you go to the beach. Or you leave home, you drive to the gas station, you go into the auto mart, you pick up a pack of chips and 2 pack of nuts, and you circle back and come down because you want to leave home. You go to the supermarket, you have a can of corned beef and maybe some juice or something. But the whole purpose has been to leave home, to get out of home. What has been the response of the RBPF to this, and how do you speak to persons who find an excuse not to comply when they really don't have the need to be out of the house?
Well, we don't take pride in arresting people or putting people before the court. However, we think the situation is such now that we have to pull out all stops, and going forward, we are going to be closely scrutinizing all those persons and ensuring that they have good reason to be there. So I'm asking and I'm appealing to members of the public to adhere to strictly to the protocols. I'm also going to ask that members of the public, civic-minded Barbadians, calling instances of breaches that they experience or hear of to the police so that we can take strong action in relation to those matters.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it from the Commissioner himself. We turn now to Dr. Shaney Williams of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, attached to the Office of the Director of Medical Services, but whose substantive post is the Consultant of the Accident and Emergency Department. Dr. Williams, thank you so much for joining us this morning. A couple questions to you, please. Generally, speak to us really about what the Queen Elizabeth Hospital experience has been. You know, we're following in the news internationally of hospital systems being completely overwhelmed by COVID-19. How would you compare the experience of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital at this time? To what extent are you taking measures, and indeed what sort of measures, to protect your staff? And how are patients presenting at A&E? Can you give some guidance and advice to persons in the public listening to this today? Do they come to A&E? Don't they come? When do they come? At what stage? What should I, as a member of the public, as a Barbadian, what should I be experiencing or feel that makes me say, yes, I need to go to A&E and I need to go now?
Good morning. Thank you, Ambassador. Morning to Barbados. As you would have heard over the last several weeks about the Queen Elizabeth's response to the COVID pandemic, and we have been planning well before our first case in March of 2020. Fortunately, the majority of 2020, the numbers were sporadic, affecting the emergency departments and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in particular. And yes, as we all know, with the advent of community spread, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital has also been impacted and affected by members of our fraternity as it relates to being affected and infected with COVID. Our strategies were implemented, and fortunately, we are not in a position where we are completely overwhelmed, as we were trying to mitigate against that several months in advance. The containment strategies of having persons isolated in facilities not within the walls of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital have been to our benefit, as we are the lone hospital offering tertiary level care to the public of Barbados. We still wanted to maintain services, as a person still will be delivering babies, surgeries still needed to be conducted, dialysis still needed to be conducted on a daily basis for our public. And yes, the emergency department still needed to stand ready to take care of the needs of urgencies and emergencies for the public. Strategies that we are engaging to help preserve our resources, both human and supply resources, so that we can continue to maintain routine services, urgencies and emergencies at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, are we still trying to allow our staff members to have vacations. In the first lockdown of March 2020, we did suspend vacations. We recognize that this is a long process. Our staff members are becoming tired, and we're still allowing them to have their mental health breaks and their vacations as needed, so that we can also maintain our services for an indefinite period of time. Our resources, supplies, and equipment resources, we're trying to also preserve those, and that is why many of our outpatient services have been curtailed and our elective surgeries have been curtailed at this time, so that we have the resources to respond to emergencies and urgencies. As it relates to the emergency department, persons may come with all levels of acute of severity as it relates to persons with COVID-related illness. So we may have the asymptomatic person with a non-COVID-related complaint, or we may have severe illness as it relates to COVID presenting to the emergency department. As you would know, and we're saying this every day, we're treating all persons as though they are potential carriers of COVID. So we are wearing our personal protective equipment appropriate for the level of activity that we're doing. It doesn't matter what activity we're doing, even relating with our colleagues. This is why we're wearing our masks every day, all the time, every time. So the emergency department's response was, we separated ourselves. We're now on three floors, the original emergency department, the ground floor where the antenatal and hematology clinics were located. They have been relocated to an annex facility in 6th Avenue, Belleville. And then we also have an assessment unit, short stay unit, holding bay type area on one of our floors. And this is so that we can separate those people who are COVID suspected or likely to have COVID from those low risk or less likely to have COVID. And we can continue care and treatment for those patients. We have had in the last week at least 10 persons who have been diagnosed as positive for COVID in the emergency department, and had they presented with respiratory complaints or non-respiratory complaints and have made the diagnosis and had to be they had to be transferred on the confirmation of the COVID diagnosis and stabilization of their presenting complaint to one of the isolation facilities. So that is what we're doing as it relates to trying to maintain services as much as possible at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital while protecting our staff and the public of Barbados.
I'm at home. I have a little bit of a fever or a bad headache. My nose is running maybe. I'm eating some, I don't know, cuckoo and saltfish, and doesn't quite taste right. Should I come to the hospital? Is something wrong?
We're asking persons who have obvious contact history with someone who was in isolation facility or has a high suspicion of COVID, or the symptoms that have been outlined, respiratory complaints, whether you think it might be sinus related, ENT complaints, or a mild flu-like symptoms. If you're having loss of taste, loss of smell, you should call the COVID hotline, 536-4500, and present your symptoms to them, and they will offer the advice. We do have polyclinics around the island who stand ready to assess persons with mild symptoms, and we're discouraging persons with mild symptoms from coming to the emergency department. The emergency department really stands ready for those with moderate to severe complaints, those people who are so short of breath their sentences are not made complete. If you're having chest pain, if you really are not breathing properly and your relatives don't like how you look, the emergency department stands ready to offer care and assistance for the moderate to severe complaint. If you are presenting to the emergency department because you're unsure, that is fine. You will be assessed and triaged on entrance. So there's an assessment area or a pre-assessment area where your vitals will be taken, a history. We're asking you specific questions to determine your level of risk and assess your level of severity, and we may refer you to the neighboring 24-hour polyclinic service at the Winston Scott Polyclinic. That is because, again, we're referring you to the appropriate facility for your level of complaint so that the emergency department can continue with those persons with life-threatening or severe illness.
We've been following the press briefing given by the COVID unit. We have heard from the Attorney General, the Commissioner of Police, and a member from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital Accident and Emergency Department. We would like to advise those sending WhatsApp messages to us to pass on to the persons doing the presentation. We are not in direct contact with the press conference. We do not have any direct contact with those involved with the press briefing. We're simply facilitating the presentation of that part to the listening public. You may follow the press conference at the other given locations.